This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Do you even know what this is from, Zach?
No, I'm just vibing.
This is... Josh, keep that up a little bit for a moment. This is the theme song for Knuckles the Echidna in Sonic Adventure for Sega Dreamcast. And now that you know what it is, it hits harder.
Yeah, it does. Inside joke there. It's fine. Happy Wednesday morning. We're halfway through the week. It's still super cold. I woke up with not snow on my car, but enough to make me mad. Enough to ruin my morning.
I got a picture from my parents this morning. They had an inch at their house.
So. Okay, that's a little too
like
far.
You couldn't see the grass.
Ooh, I get it's March. I do. Like I'm the 69 degree day I get was like an anomaly.
It was a week ago, by the way.
It was a week ago.
Week ago today, by the way.
But come on.
No, week ago today. It was 69.
I want to pull out the shorts.
I know.
It's the fact that this is why spring is the most irritating season to me.
Oh, 100%.
Is because it's the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
You get a great weather day. You want to break out the shorts.
You do break out the shorts.
And then you get a week of terrible, terrible weather. Whether it's colder or it's rainy or it does the worst thing in the world and gives you the cold rain combo.
Oh, the cold rain combo.
And for any dog owner, it's muddy season.
Mm-hmm.
It is not spring. It's mud season.
It is mud season, 100%.
Especially when you have a beagle.
Yeah.
A diggy hole is her favorite thing to do.
Yep. See, I got a little chihuahua. He doesn't really dig.
Good.
He's kind of like, I'm going to do my business and I don't want to get dirty. We're going to get inside as quickly as possible.
Yeah. They're built different.
Used to have a pug though. He was the opposite. He was going to rub his face into the ground immediately.
Yes.
And I was like, dude.
Diggy hole then also turns into bath time and she hates that.
Well, of course.
But she doesn't correlate one with the other, so.
Not yet.
Well,
probably
nope.
Never. Yeah, no.
Probably never at this
probably
point.
Probably never. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We had a lot happen yesterday night.
A lot happened yesterday.
We were prepared to come in, and we still are, to talk kind of the idea of trading up in the draft. We're now less than a month away from the start of the first round. It kind of feels like, it's not April yet, but it sort of feels like we are in the final stretch of draft season. Teams are making their final moves to where it kind of sets up like, okay, what's going on? Teams having top 30 visits, what have you. And then Russell Wilson signed with the Giants, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, cool. Like, Rodgers has Pittsburgh or retirement. Okay, interesting. Yes. And then Stephon Diggs signed a 3-year deal with New England. And it was like, oh, okay.
And there's some mixed emotions that we are seeing from the Bills fandom on this. And I tend to agree with pretty much all of them. At this point with Stephon Diggs, whatever you're feeling about him, unless you get to overly mean and hateful, I'm probably going to end up ultimately agreeing with someone no matter what it is. Because how do you force your way off of a Bills roster that is probably your best chance to win a Super Bowl? And then now 2 years later, sign with the New England Patriots, who are not even close to ready.
No, they're very much far off.
The steak is still mooing. Put it back on the grill, not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that probably felt shunned by Diggs in that sense alone are feeling a little confused, maybe. That's me. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are probably angry about it. Some people are still salty about him leaving in the first place. Some people were already at, oh, he's dead to me, because of how he effectively forced his way out of here. I don't seem to understand
mm-hmm.
why he would choose New England. But then I look at the contract and go, that's why.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you did the thing first.
I think that was my immediate thought is I'm driving home, listening to the Sabres game, pulling into my driveway, and I just go check my phone, see if I missed anything. And it was right there. It was the first thing. I was like, oh, okay, 3-year deal. $69 million, $26 million guaranteed. So it's the 69 is more the it's not the real number, right?
If he ends up there all 3 years, he's going to get that.
But I doubt that
that's going to be the case.
Exactly. It's quite a discrepancy between the two numbers. But $26 million, this late in free agency, coming off a torn ACL, 31 years old. I think for me, I immediately saw that. Number one, the moment the Bills were successful without Diggs, look, he's one of my favorite Bills of all time. I really don't care about the exit. As long as he didn't commit a crime, he's going to end it as one of my favorite Bills
he
of all time.
He should end it in a favorable note.
Yeah, especially if he doesn't trash the organization or the fans or what have you. And I haven't seen anything like that yet. If I missed it, please let me know. But he's going to end as one of my favorite Bills. I love the wide receiver position. It is my favorite position in sports to watch, to study, the whole thing. And he was kind of a NFL crush of mine before he was a Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was with Minnesota, the 3-touchdown game against Philadelphia, I was always like, me and my brother, I will never forget both of us being like, the Bills need to get him. And the day they did.
You were probably doing backflips.
Oh, because it was late, and we both were like, dude. And it was the whole thing. It was exciting.
You were interning with us. You were doing backflips.
Yeah. I was having a blast. It was awesome. And so like he's always going to be that guy. Does it sour it a little bit that he's going to be on the Patriots? Yeah, of course it does. But I also know that 90s Bills fans had to go through this with a lot of their stars winding up on the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had jilted relationships with the organization. I don't think that's what this is. I think this is honestly a guy at the end of his career. I still stand by. If he does not tear his ACL, if he just has a solid season, I think the dream for him was to wind up in Dallas to play with his brother the last few years of his career. I think that was ultimately the goal or the dream.
Even at minimum, they probably could have reworked the deal, like how they reworked it after he was traded to Houston mm-hmm. to where it expires. He probably would have been okay with staying in Houston if he was healthy.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just more of, okay, you're gonna suffer a little bit, buddy.
He's going to – look, Drake May is an exciting young quarterback.
He's an exciting young quarterback.
He'll probably get a lot of targets, especially early in the season.
They also still have that much work to do on the offensive line.
Yeah, they got a lot to do.
They have a lot to do. But this is also the second time – and hey, you know what? Credit to New England for this. The second time in this offseason that they overpaid a now former Bills wide receiver a lot of money.
You know why, though? This is also happening.
I don't want to say, like, a lot of money overpaid, but, like, Diggs got a nice contract this late in free agency coming off of an ACL tear. Matt Collins is getting $8.2 million over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he signed in New England? Well, that, I think that's why.
Yeah, I think ultimately it doesn't have to do anything with loyalty or what have you. It's a guy at the end of his career looking at, oh, I can get $26 million guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not worried about the loyalty aspect of it. I'm just more like, if you valued winning...
I think that's gone out the door.
I think it's because of that ACL tear.
I think that changed radically what his plans were. Because let's all remember what Houston looked like at this time last year when the Diggs trade happened.
They were
seen as an ascending team that has sort of figured it out. C.J. Stroud had one of the better rookie years we've ever seen. Jaden Daniels outdoes him literally a year later. But at the time, Stroud's rookie year was seen as like, oh, crap.
Look out for the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans have figured out. Now, did they kind of take advantage of a weak schedule? And we ultimately saw this year, they're not there yet. That offensive line was horrendous, and they kind of gutted it, too. But at the time...
Well, yeah, you should.
At the time, you could argue Diggs was maybe reading the tea leaves, ultimately wrong, and thought, that's my better opportunity to get a ring at the end of my career.
Correct.
Especially when the Bills were sort of drifting away, as we saw, getting him the ball as much as they did. He was not as effective in this style of offense as he had been in previous iterations, especially under Dable.
And I'm starting to, now it's all coming together here, the last piece of the puzzle, to where now the confusion is kind of going away from you. I think all I needed to do was talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about role. It always has been with him. And what happened when Joe Brady took over? Diggs' targets plummeted.
His role was diminished.
His role was, that's being nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost all but taken away from him at times. However, he was winning. But his role was not being fulfilled. When he left Minnesota, it was about role.
Yeah, Adam Thielen was kind of decided to be the one.
No, it was Mike Zimmer saying, we're going to run the football.
Mm.
Which, by the way, that means it's a second Cook brother that ultimately helps eschew him out of a team.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man.
Man.
That's tough. That's tough.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Stephon Diggs, he might have a real vendetta about the Cook brothers. Because that's how his roles were diminished, both in Minnesota and in Buffalo. If there's another Cook brother out there that's going to be playing running back, New England has the opportunity to do the funniest
thing
ever.
I don't think there's another
There's
one.
Not, but I just wanted
Maybe
to
a
say
cousin?
That. I just wanted to say it to be funny. New England has an opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. James Cook is contract is expiring after next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Patriots, you do have the chance to do the funniest thing ever to Stephon Diggs.
803-0550. Your thoughts on Stephon Diggs? I mean, we're going to get the return to Buffalo too, which I actually am excited for.
Now, ready?
I don't have many thoughts like in terms of like does this hurt me to see? No, I think he's ultimately getting his bag at the end of his career. I am excited though to see him return to Buffalo.
Now, let me say this. Clearly, I don't know how much people will boo him when he comes here. What I do know is that it is going to happen a little bit, a smattering of boos of some sort.
Yep.
A la Jack Eichel when he first visited Buffalo with the Vegas Golden Knights. I do not expect Stephon Diggs to turn around into a microphone and go, really? I don't expect that. I also do not expect him to trash the fan base.
I don't either. I will tell you, I think Diggs would flourish in a villain role.
Stephon Diggs absolutely would flourish in a villain role, but also say, I love this fan base too. Let's have some fun with it. He'll probably go do his run around the stadium, play catch with fans again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he'll be doing it in Buffalo for the first time since leaving. And some people will boo him, and he'll probably just give like the little smirk, the little wave, you know, little, how's your father?
Oh, man, yeah.
Like how he did with New England fans after Christmas.
That's the funny thing is maybe the most beloved moment for Diggs as a Bill was his routine games against the Patriots where he would embarrass them. I mean, Diggs was I mentioned a 3-touchdown game with Minnesota. He had one with Buffalo where you've got, you know, Belichick throwing the headset. And it was sort of I think for a lot of us, a euphoric moment of like, yeah, baby, now it's our time.
It was also the beginning of the end of J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Torched by him. So, I mean, like, that's ultimately my thing is I don't have really any ill will towards Diggs.
No.
It helps that the Bills were themselves successful. But even then, if the Bills had a bad year last year and Diggs left, I'd have been more frustrated with the team than him. He would have read the tea leaves correctly.
Right. And again, I think I needed to talk my way out of my confusion there, mm-hmm. but it had to do with role. In Houston, he was not the guy. He was never going to be the guy. That's probably why he renegotiated it to, hey, I'm out after this year.
Mm-hmm.
In New England, what's he going to be?
I mean, especially what's
with
their,
that receiving core?
Yeah, what's
he's the guy.
Their receiving room is obviously him, Matt Collins, two former Bills now, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Kayshon Boutte, Javon Baker, if you want him, but he could not get on the field last year.
But also, not even just about getting on the field, about being the guy.
Yeah. He's going to be the guy next year for
Diggs
New
Diggs is the guy. He's back to being the guy. It's kind of what he's always wanted. And there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see it. In a sort of way of like, hey, you know what? You know what you want. You recognize what you want. You go and get what you want. I'm okay with it not being the Bills' problem anymore.
I think this
except for now two games of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Bills don't have the greatest corner
well, not
depth
yet.
Anymore.
We will see, though, come the draft. I'm very excited for the draft. I know me and Nate now are in lockstep of who maybe our favorite corner idea is
you
for the Bills.
You guys are both kind of on Siobhan Revelle at this
I've been
point.
On Revelle for a little while. I always thought maybe second-round guy. I think Nate's leaning more towards, like, if he's there at 30, have a real conversation.
Nate took him in the mock draft earlier today that they did.
Have a real conversation, and I can understand that, especially after free agency. Corner is now maybe their biggest need, which – alarms me that they weren't able to do more. But
I still say safety should be high up there as
safety,
well.
Safety. The problem I'm going to have with this, we'll talk more about this the rest of this
week,
next week. Oh,
we've got a whole month?
And I've said this really since I've been on air here in Buffalo, is that I am very stingy on positional value when it comes to the draft. Like, I won't trade up for really any major trade up
right.
for anything but quarterback and maybe edge rusher, because those can change games. If you get a guy that's going to average 15 sacks a game, you go make that trade.
Yes.
Or 15 sacks a season, you go make that trade. If you're going to get a quarterback that, as we see, changes the temperature in the room of your organization, you go make that trade. I certainly won't do that for quarterback, safety, wide receiver. And to that point, cornerback, and safeties,
you
usually get them in the second, third round.
Get them in the second,
and get
third round,
legitimate
absolutely.
NFL starters pretty darn early. Now, there's always the examples of a Kyle Hamilton who goes in the top 20, and he has changed Baltimore's defense, and they didn't even need a safety.
Right.
I don't necessarily think there is one of those guys this year. I know a lot of people like Nick Emmanuori out of South Carolina. To me, I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is some.
I like him more.
I know you do. Because for me, there are some fears that is he just a great athlete rather than a great safety? Where I like Watts out of Notre Dame a lot more for maybe the Bills system.
So the last thing on the draft before we circle back to Diggs, if there's someone that can get Nick Emmanuori proper safety technique, it's probably the guy who played safety in college ball.
Probably. I mean, that's the thing, too.
I have 100% faith that Sean McDermott will help teach the right techniques and his coaching staff to
Nick outside of Elam, honestly, outside of Kyer Elam, the Bills with the secondary as a whole, you can kind of put your trust in them. That's a big miss, no doubt. But they've made a ton of other guys NFL players as late round. Jamarcus Ingram is an NFL cornerback. He may not start for you. He's a wonderful depth piece to have. And in the pinch, we saw it last year. When they needed him to perform in a small sample size, he was great. Now, once that sample size grew, it was like, okay. But he's an undrafted guy out of UB. You got to like that. So
Cam Lewis is this hybrid corner safety mm-hmm. player. Like, there's a lot to it. So
yep. But so for me, positional value, it's going to be tough for me to like go trade up for safety. Defensive tackle, I'm willing to do a small trade-up for a guy like Kenneth Grant, and we all know how I feel about Grant. That's my guy.
That's your guy.
I don't know if he's going to be there at 30. I've kind of talked about it. I don't actually think the Bills will pick at 30. I think there's a good chance they probably pick within 25 to that point, just the small trade-ups, what have you, to make sure a team like Kansas City doesn't jump ahead of them. They also have needs on the defensive line.
I'm still, once again, going to say it. Do not worry about what another team is going to do. Just do what you're going to do to be better.
I agree.
That's the Xavier Worthy trade nonsense all over again.
I agree, but there is going to be a thought process, I think, for some in the Bills' brass.
I'm telling people, the Bills don't care about that. They don't.
I think there's some people in the Bills' brass that are going like, guys, they keep getting us.
I would imagine the general manager is not worried about that.
I'm not saying he should. No, I'm saying he should maybe think about it.
No, because then you're not an NFL general manager.
Well, no, I right. It's the old saying that once you start listening to the fans,
you're
out.
I was consistent about this last year. I'm going to say it again. I don't care about what the Kansas City Chiefs do. Do not. 0% care.
It's fair.
0%. My guy.
I will tell you, if they leave them to take Kenneth Grant, I'm going to be emotional. I'm going to be a wreck.
You know what's actually going to like upset me with the Kansas City Chiefs? If they somehow get like the best offensive tackle in this draft class all the way at pick 31.
It's not a good tackle class, though.
Ready? That's my point.
Yeah, it's not a good tackle class.
There's nothing they can do to me this year that's going to go like, oh, they actually cooked here. No.
No. I don't really want to see Calvin Banks there. He'd tackle for Texas. I like him a lot.
I like him a lot.
Obviously not for the Bills, but it's like, I don't want another Texas player to go there. Like, this is getting difficult for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't want Worthy for the Bills, but I loved Worthy for Texas.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want him to suck. I don't want this. Yes. I want to be good. It's the same with, like, I've seen Matthew Golden at times be mocked to Kansas City because, oh boy, do they have some issues at wide receiver in terms of potential availability. I'm like, I think he'll be good. I don't want him to be bad because he goes to Kansas City.
And finally, this is just this, like, I don't need to relive the anger that everyone was putting out last year and the despair. It's been 12 months. We're okay. As a matter of fact, I would just more or less worry about what this team does for restructuring its defense.
Yeah, because that, oh man. I'm excited.
That Xavier Worthy didn't necessarily torch. He had one drive.
I was going to say, the one drive, though, was alarming.
He had one drive. It was scripted for him. He had that one drive. Don't you worry about it. I remember. But it's not like he is this consistent 1,500-yard receiver upcoming here.
It's not like he had the rookie year of, say, a Brian Thomas Jr. for Jacksonville.
And I do know part of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes missing on a lot of throws. But how do you manage to overthrow that?
Yeah, fair. Fair. 803-0550, the number to call. We started today talking about Stephon Diggs signing a 3-year, $69 million deal, $26 million guaranteed with the New England Patriots. And we now go to the phones. We'll start today with Cleveland on the line. Cleveland, how are we doing today?
How you doing? I guess I got like a two-part question for you guys. First and foremost, I don't think really Diggs. I think Diggs kind of got a worse rep on his way out than he should have because of his social media. I don't think his social media things were that bad. I think it was more of, for me personally, the information that came out that said that he seeked a trade because he didn't think that the current build of the team could beat Kansas City. And on his way out, he has the biggest drop of his career, which could have beat Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of more upset about that part. So my first question about that is, maybe I'm missing something, but 3 years, $69 million, and I'm happy he got his money. I don't want to count anyone's pockets, but I think they're overpaying. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't think he's $33 million. So I wonder, I would ask you guys, what would you guys think he would be worth if he came back to the Bills? What would you guys think a fair contract for him would be if he were to come back to the Bills? And secondly, I heard one of you guys say that you like Kenneth Grant. I keep hearing Kenneth Grant. That's cool. I'm cool with that. But there's a guy from Tennessee named Elijah Simmons, 6'4", 330.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you think if we could get him in a second round and maybe pick up a stud defensive back in the first round?
That works for me. I'm the big Kenneth Grant guy, Cleveland. Thanks for the call, man. That works for me. However this works out, there's like three positions that would bother me in round one. You
real
got something?
Quick, I just, because he said Elijah Simmons,
mm-hmm.
Got to get curious. You got to look at things.
Of course.
You want a one technique. That
he's the guy.
That's tough to move. How about 340?
Well,
6'2", 340.
So on that point, before we get out of here, me and Nate Geary were talking about that too, with the idea that there's going to be space heaters, which is sort of what the Bills need.
You said it's how deep this class is.
Yeah, later in the draft. I'd be cool with that, especially if they go and get, let's say a Jahdae Barron falls to 25 and the Bills trade up a little bit to go get him. Perfect. Or to what Nate wants to do, Siobhan Revell out of ECU. They go get him. Perfect. And then they go get a defensive tackle
in
round
two. At 30. I mean, Warrior is there.
Great. I'm happy. Again, there's like you three, four positions that are going to bother me. If they take a tackle, a guard, a tight end, a quarterback, like those are going to be the positions that make me mad. Everything else, I'm probably pretty good.
And you look at a player like Elijah Simmons and it's like, this is exactly what we want right now,
right.
Ladies and gentlemen. Someone who can't be moved.
Yeah, space eater that opens
space
up.
Space eater opens up Ed Oliver, opens up your linebackers.
Bingo.
Give me that beef wagon.
Beef wagon. That's ultimately what I want in the first round most because I think the high-end talent for this defensive
and
tackle class is worth attacking.
It doesn't have to be first round.
But it doesn't have to be first round.
It has to just be addressing the need.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main point of it. And our dinky little train, it's also departing the station.
On the second point, Cleveland, I do want to mention this too. I do think New England's desperate because of what happened to the receiver market very early in free agency. T. Higgins stays with Cincinnati.
Right.
They franchise tag him. And also, quietly, Darius Slayton re-signs with the Giants. I think there was a lot of hope there for Patriots fans that they were going to be able to get one of Higgins, Slayton, some of these other guys. And instead, it falls apart rapidly. And so, yeah, they had to go pay $8 million per year for Mac Hollins, you know, $26 million guaranteed.
$8 million total for Mac Hollins.
$8 million total, thank you. And then $26 guaranteed for Diggs. They kind of had to do this because that receiver room with such a young quarterback who showed a ton of promise in Drake May, you've got to improve, maybe not rapidly, but steadily. And they were looking at not doing that.
I will say New England paid exactly what they needed to get him.
I also do think they're going to get Travis Hunter as well.
If they manage to get a player that is healthy again,
mm-hmm.
even if he is, call it 80% of what he was, that's a reliable target for Drake May.
Yeah.
And as Stephon Diggs' arrival did help a young Josh Allen form into the world ender that he is today,
the idea is
you do the same thing. And there's not many ways that you're supposed to copy the Buffalo Bills as a blueprint. But New England's doing it in a somewhat correct way. They go ahead and say, oh, we're not going to start Drake May right away. We're not going to have him get thrown to the Wolves, which is what the Bills wanted to do with Josh Allen. It was just they chose the wrong guy to lead that.
Yeah.
And now, hey, not a bad idea. Throwing in a couple of Bills receivers because that's hurt you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And, oh, you also have the cap space to play with.
Yeah, you have a ton of cap space and you have the
need. Too much cap space to play with.
Like you brought up, he's a reliable guy for May to kind of continue to progress his career. And again, I think they're going to add somebody like maybe a Travis Hunter who...
That's right, they pick fourth.
That might be one of the few organizations that might be willing to let him play both positions. I don't know how much of an appetite most of the NFL has to do that. I think they want just the best out of a guy at a certain position.
I don't know. Vrabel's a no-nonsense dude.
Vrabel's no-nonsense, but I think with you need talent, I think that's where Hunter could maybe, I'm going to play a little bit of receiver. Now, in terms of Cleveland's other point, too, like what would we give Diggs if he were to return for the Bills? 31 coming off an ACL tear, 1 year, maybe $8
million. Yeah, you're probably looking at,
I don't even necessarily think he fits the current roster anyways.
Yeah, no.
But that would probably be about it.
Yeah.
And maybe $8 million is a bit rich.
Yeah.
But that would be about it.
And I do think it ultimately had to do with role. He would be coming back here. He wouldn't be the guy.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Butch, we'll get you on the other side. Talking Stephon Diggs, him going to an AFC East rival in the New England Patriots. Also, do want to touch on the idea of maybe even trading up in the draft. I've already kind of mentioned it. I'm up for small trades, but I've heard it throughout, you know, last week into this week too, the idea of making a big swing because the time is now. They've got 10 picks. They're probably not going to add 10 players onto this roster, especially 10 rookies with all the late-round picks they have. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
I think he got a bad rap, you know, just by the media and like by people. I mean, he's not been nothing but just amazing to this team and to his teammates. He's helped me out a ton. And you know, as you can see, we're clicking more and more every game. So very happy for him and glad that, you know, he's finally, you know, having fun playing the game and doing what he loves to do because he loves football a lot. So, you know, just really, really happy to be, you know, a part of his journey and like just being around him has been real awesome.
That is Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud talking at that point. I think this was back in October. His wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Diggs now on the way to New England. I don't think it's official yet, but it was reported last night.
It's still a sources article.
Right. Talking there, I'm glad we played that clip there because our previous caller in the last segment, Cleveland, brought up too that it was maybe a bad rap for Diggs on the way out, social media, kind of like his handling and also of like leaving and some of the reports.
Yes.
And I'm glad Stroud brought that up. I will say, though, there was always the one thing that kind of bothered me about Diggs, and still kind of does, even though I love when my receivers have a screw loose. I think it's just part of the personality of the position. I say that partially joking, but like I also like my quarterback being like kind of a psychopath in terms of like preparation.
Yes.
Like there, you need to not be kind of a normal person in that sense. And wide receivers, I think there always has to be like that paranoia that always like takes over like their personalities. That was Diggs. And I think a lot of people, especially modern fans, when you have such a connection to players, you want to be praised. We all do.
Yes.
We all want players to love our team and our city as much as we do, right? Diggs never fully did that. Whenever he was asked about his future in Buffalo, he would always be like, he would remind people it's a business. And I don't think people loved that. It wasn't ever wrong.
He also, I'm not going to go ahead and fully accept that. He accepted this city in the quiet ways.
I 100% agree.
The way he embraced the city was in the quiet ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was not always this like having to speak about it gleefully within the media. He knows the NFL is a business and he would profess about that. But he is a guy who would embrace these fans week in and week out.
Yep.
To where it was the quiet ways.
You mentioned playing catch with little kids
with the fans
every single game.
Mm-hmm. And he's always laughing and smiling it up with the fans out there. He knows it's a business. He is acutely aware of that.
Yep.
And my only issue with how he left is I feel like we just got to delete Twitter from like planet Earth. That might make everything better. We just might need to get rid of it entirely.
Yeah, I
tweet at me at Derek Kramer before dinner.
I want to give up on like social media so bad.
But
like I need to know things as like they're happening, and that's the way to do it.
Yes.
And that's my thing.
Ready? Report news. Let nobody comment on it.
Right, like just shut off all comments. Just here's the news, boom.
Because you know what's delightful about the internet?
Not bad.
It's things like the bullpen.
I love the chat.
From the chats on the morning and afternoon shows, the bullpen is great. One of the most chaotic energies that you'll see in a positive manner. That's what social media is supposed to be. What Twitter
chaotic
has become, for
good.
Example? Yeah. What Twitter has become, for example? Not. It's chaotic evil, quite honestly. And hey, you know what? Diggs is. Approach with Twitter, I'm going to agree with that part.
Yeah.
Social media, burn it.
I think what's funny, though, Diggs...
We broke social media.
But Diggs did tweet in, like, the sense of, like, I'm not actually a famous person.
Yep.
Which was obviously horribly incorrect. Like, you are, in fact, a famous person.
People will look at your tweet.
It's kind of why I liked it, though.
People will look at a tweet with an eye emoji on it and go, what's going on?
Or, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski tweets out, you know, the bomb emoji.
Right.
And you got a bunch of NBA fans yesterday going like, what's happening? And they're like, no, he's the general manager of St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
They got a former Canisius player who's playing at Minnesota to come back. It's awesome. Frank Mitchell.
Oh, no. He did that on purpose.
He did. It was funny.
Absolutely.
I enjoy former NBA or current NBA fans thinking like, he's back.
Nope.
It was like the Dark Knight Rises when like, he's like, he's back. You're in for a show, kid.
Yeah. So.
It was like, not that.
But how Diggs went out, I will say part of it is his own fault in a way. Like, you know what you're doing with those things. You know what you're doing. And people will take it as extreme as they will. The media, obviously, he didn't really talk to the media that much. And there are times where that typically leads to someone being less than favorable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's entirely his fault on how he left and how he was seen how he left, but I'm also going to not say that he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's exactly how it should be. And unless he goes ahead and openly bashes the city of Buffalo and the fan base when he comes back here, we should still be able to hold Stephon Diggs in this regard of, hey,
thanks for being here when it started getting good.
Yeah, like you were a major part
thanks
of
it. Thanks
like,
for being a part of it.
803-0550, the number two call, giving some thoughts on Stephon Diggs. Also, I want to talk draft as well. We'll start this segment off here with Butch on the line. Butch, how are we doing this afternoon? This morning?
Oh, good, how are you doing? Good morning, my friends. I love you too. I love WGI. I love MSG. And to all the fans who are listening around the world, I definitely love you. I have a couple of things I'm going to say, but I'm going to change gears and be brief. I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to give you a story that I've never told about Diggs ever. And I could have said it years ago, but I didn't, but it was just sentimental to me. Number one is I'm going to say tell you the point that I called for. You guys brought up when him and Joe Brady took over offense, his role diminished a lot. That's accurate. I concur with both of you. But as you can see, the playbook was different. When I remember when Diggs came in and wanted to ask about the playbook, and because the playbooks was changing, everybody thought it was Diggs. No, it wasn't. Look at Amari Cooper. You look at Coleman. Even you look at Hollis. A lot of Hollis's plays, the majority of it was broke was with Josh Allen rolling out, making finding wide receivers open. The playbook really that Joe Brady has is really not for the outside receivers. It's more for the slot tight ends. And that was issue. I'm happy that Diggs is where he is. And Buffalo has two guys that they got to wait six games on. For different circumstances, and New England might have to wait six games for Diggs to come back. But I'm going to put that to the side. I'm going to give you this story, and I'm going to thank you so much for taking my call. I love both of you. You are plug-in plays, which I want the Buffalo Bills draft to be. When they draft players, get plug-in plays. They're superstars on YouTube. But I'm going to give you this story real fast. Maybe a few years when Diggs was here, into the year, I was coming down the east side of Buffalo. I saw this Lamborghini pull over. You know, I was going to the store. And, you know, we didn't know who it was. All the little kids was in the neighborhood. It was Diggs. Diggs got out by himself. Wasn't no security or anything. Went into the store. And I pull over. I go into the store. You know, he's there. And the guy at the store asked him, what do you want to buy? He says, really, I don't want to buy anything. I just saw good kids out here. And I just pulled over to take pictures with the kids, which he did. And it got, you know, social media, you could call people. Cars started pulling up all everywhere. And Diggs, you know, got in, went to the gas station up the street right here on Ferry and right here on Ferry and Fillmore Avenue in the city of Buffalo. And went in the gas station. They bombarded the gas station, taking pictures or videos and et cetera, et cetera. And Diggs just stood out there, went and got some gas. Somebody pumped the gas for him. He took pictures with all the kids and all the people. Now, there's a police precinct right across the street. The police was peeking out because there was so many kids and so many people hanging out. They thought maybe it was an accident or something was going on. They came out, escorted, like they had to block it out so he can get out to get back on the street. And what he did with that Lamborghini, he got on the street, he slowed down, he got out, he waved everybody, and he hit that 33 and he went on back to wherever he lived at. And that was really sentimental to me because a long time, see, I've been, like as you guys already heard, I've been calling it 40 years. I'm 60 years old now. And I go back when Steve Tasker and those guys were young, and I remember Bruce Thurman, Cornelius Bennett, Thurman Thomas and all the rest of the guys used to come on Fillmore and be in the inner city and hang around and just be regular old guys. Diggs wasn't going to no function to see kids. He wasn't going to no media function to be in front of the news cameras. It was just a regular old day. And I really appreciate guys. So when people say about the city, did he love it? So he loved the city. It was just that it was a transition in the playbook that really got him out. And I'm going to let you go on this. That Travis Hunter situation, I believe that's going to be a guaranteed move. And New England, I think New England did the right thing. But I love you guys, man. And thanks so much for taking my call. I'm always going to be fans of the plug and plays. You guys, WGR, getting hired when he got you, your young guys in. And he plugged you in and play. And look what we got. We got a good radio station. Love you guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Butch, thanks for calling in.
Butch, appreciate it. And thank you for telling that story because that's exactly what I meant when I said he loved this city. In the quiet ways.
Yeah.
He was not out there in the media saying it every day. He was a guy that would just embrace the community, just being a guy. Stephon Diggs in Buffalo was a guy being a dude. And as you mentioned there in the call, Butch, this is all pretty good stuff. Joe Brady's offense does not predicate the outside receiver. Stephon Diggs is an X.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, role is going to have to do with why he wanted out of there. Everything that you said is what I've been mentioning about it. He did love this city. He loved the fans. He loved the people. But he did it in ways that were not out there, like being talking into microphones, going on another player's podcast and saying it. He was not that guy. He was just a guy being a dude. And still is a guy being a dude.
100%.
It's just he embraces community in the quiet ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I say, don't go crazy on trashing Stephon Diggs. Because Stephon Diggs is a Bill. That was pretty sick 4 years.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty sick 4 years.
But to your point, too, like a guy going on podcasts, it's where I think Keon Coleman was able to be embraced by Bills fans very early. And even in this offseason, I've seen him going on a number of podcasts. There was a thing going around, I think, last week where he was at a talk. And he, like, it, I think it was with service members. And someone, like, bet him, like, 20 push-ups. Like, Josh Allen wouldn't answer his phone call. And Allen answered the phone call. And then they ended it by saying they love each other. And, like, you know.
Yeah. He said that, too.
Exactly.
The Sports Illustrated cover. Like,
yes. But Keon, really from the moment of getting drafted, that was maybe his best quality. His best trait as a player.
Keon's best quality upon being drafted is, hey, I'm kind of a goofball.
Mm-hmm.
In an endearing way.
Yep.
Hey, are those cookies? Sick. Like,
the jacket.
I saw something about, like, NFL Combine. Like, teams will offer up free dishes of candy and see if, like, players will take it. And if they do, it's a lack of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to bet Keon Coleman was like, yo, sick.
Well, I saw he was one of the guys that kind of got bashed a little bit for, like, taking the free fruit snacks. And I'm like, but
free fruit snacks. Come on, man.
Yeah, but, like, it's certain teams will look
for
certain
personalities. If there are free fruit snacks on the table out there, I better not have my character assassinated for it.
We actually had muffins and, like, breakfast this morning. I did take 3 blueberry muffins. They were little ones. They were small little ones, okay? I'm watching my figure. 803-0550, the number two call. Lee, we'll get to you on the other side if you hold on. We want to talk a little bit about the draft as well, especially with us less than a month away from round one getting kicked off in Green Bay this year. I can't wait to see what the weather is like for that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Everyone, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Happy Wednesday. Still kind of cold, which, you know, is what it is.
Kinda?
It's kind of cold. It's kind of cold.
Have you been outside today?
Yeah.
It's pretty cold.
It's actively snowing.
Okay, you didn't need to. You need to rub it in.
No, I'm just helping you with the kinda cold terminology.
I was so ready to have my summer adult drinks.
And when I say snowing, it's actively flurrying out.
And I'm like,
no,
we'll stay with the stouts, I guess, for another month. Like,
what's smaller than snow? Flurry, right?
Flurry.
Even though that shouldn't be the word
we use. A dusting?
Yeah. The snowflakes are tiny.
But it's also like almost like not freezing rain, but it looks like mist. Snowflakes.
Yeah, it looks like that's how small it is.
Like it looks like if you're at the falls.
Little tiny snowflakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't love it. Getting connected with our fans today. When we do that, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Real quick, before we take our next time out, Lee is on the line. Lee, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah, I have a question about the draft. I understand that it's a very depth defensive tackle in this mm-hmm. draft, and I understand the issue that came with Kaiir Elam. You know, I think the Bills threw him in there thinking that he was going to be this great defensive back. My idea here is maybe this is just my personal – it is my personal take. With Rasul Douglas still on the free agent market and who knows what he's asking for, this is just an idea. Did you ever think maybe – I know Bean likes to wait and try to get guys on a cheap deal sometimes mm-hmm. on a one-year prove-it deal. And I know McDermott and Bean are sort of the type of guys that they want guys to fit their system. I think that's every NFL club. But does it hurt really to pick up the phone and say, hey, Tre'Davious White, come here on a one-year deal. You know our system. And then you draft 2 or 3 defensive backs because if one of them doesn't pan out, then you got another one to fall on.
Mm-hmm. No, Lee, I think you're on the right spot there. Thanks for the call. I'm glad you added the last point and not just – Trey White, one-year deal, and then maybe a corner and move on from there. I like the idea of Trey White, one-year deal, Dane Jackson, one-year deal, you got Christian Benford, and then one or two more corners. I think it's probably right. I will say, though, the Bills have kind of been desperate at cornerback for a few years now due to injuries, having to make trades like Rasul Douglas.
Yep.
This has become a position that has sort of haunted them for like
corner,
2 years.
Cornerback, too, has very much become a rotating door.
Yeah.
And if Christian Benford did not become what he has been,
oh,
the entire position would have been a little bit of a, I don't want to call it nightmare, but like not great.
Yeah, and so I think that's where it's not, I don't love that it really is maybe their biggest need positionally after free agency. I don't love it. There also weren't awesome names out there, and I could see them in two of their first three picks being cornerback because they do need to get better there. And if we're being honest, Benford suffered two concussions at the end of last year in very rapid succession, and they have not paid him a hefty extension like we all maybe somewhat expected. So I think corner multiple corners could absolutely be on the table for the Bills. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, still looking for your calls, 803-0550. Talk there on the draft. Want to kind of mention the idea of maybe even trading up for a position like corner. I don't love it, but a small trade-up might be on the table for the Bills. Again, number is 803-0550, and this is WGR.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Josh Schmidt on the board, working it the way that he do. The Secretary of Mulch, as I heard this morning on the morning show. Love that. Love that for you, by the way. The Secretary of Mulch.
I have entered the cabinet.
Yes.
Oh, the bullpen.
The bullpen cabinet, a Secretary of Mulch. And I gotta say, I love what the bullpen does day in and day out.
I have a lot of fun.
And I wish that I had a show interacting with them.
It's a lot of fun. Quite 6 frankly. To 10 in the mornings with Jeremy and Joe, 3 to 7 with Shope and the Bulldog. I think it's predominantly on – we're on Twitch and YouTube.
Yes.
It's predominantly on YouTube.
Yes.
It's just a lot of fun. It's – we were talking about it. It's a lot like the text board, but like everyone else can talk to each other.
But this is what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Like we broke social media except for that.
Except for that.
As a society, we've broken most of social media except for that. Stream chats are the way to go.
Yeah.
And but
although I'll have to start worrying about my appearance more, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we got into radio so that we didn't have to worry about
I wear
that.
Hats a lot.
Yeah.
I sometimes take a little while to shave.
I'm wearing a Purdue hockey jersey right now.
I love that, though.
It is drip personified, though.
I
love this thing. But of course, this is the day I pick a hockey jersey out, and people are walking around in the studio. I don't know what's going on. There's some random tours happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like the Christmas party when like Mike and Chris are working the last hour of their show.
Yep.
And people are like, they're being given tours. And I feel like a zoo exhibit animal.
Yeah. A part of me kind of likes it, though. Like, I do the nightcap, like, during it. And like, just having people like watch me as I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of me is like,
In years past, that's absolutely what I did with the party.
Like, all right.
But today, on March 26th, in the morning, people are being given a little bit of a tour, and I'm just like, should I just, like, make an animal noise or something? Like,
just stare people in the eye.
What does the fox say?
Oh, no, we're not doing that again.
It says that, actually.
We're never doing
it's
that
It's chirping
again.
Like a bird.
I feel like that wouldn't be good, though, for the company, where, like, everyone's like, yeah, like, there's this weird guy. He just, like, just made an animal noise. It looked me right in the eyes. Like, I don't know what that's about. It's probably not good. That's where we get an email from, like, HR, and they're like, guys, we got to have a meeting. And you're like, damn. Foiled again. The animal noise got me again.
Stop making animal noises at the people that we're bringing in for tours. You're freaking them out.
It's a lot of one of those things where it's like, don't climb this. You're like, all right, so somebody definitely climbed that, and that's why this is there.
I'm probably
company-wide email, don't make animal noises. Okay, well, somebody made animal noises. Got it. Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks for giving company secrets.
Don't drop coffee on lap. I'm that guy.
Don't be the reason we have a safety briefing.
Bingo.
Oh, I failed that so many times.
Josh.
I used to work in retail. Oh, my God. There was one place in particular, Schmoffice Depot, and... And yeah,
I
had four incident reports.
How?
Oh. I fell off like one of those like walking ladders, like the stair ladders.
Yeah.
I tried reaching behind for something, and everyone else just heard plastic tubs crashing.
That's not ideal. That's not ideal.
I had one on my third day working there.
Dude.
I tripped over a pallet. How do I trip over a pallet? By carrying so much paper that I could not see
That'll do it.
And then effectively I got hip checked.
My goodness.
Yeah, I am the danger.
Ugh. 803-0550, the number two call. We're talking a lot of Diggs in the first hour, kind of his, I guess mainly how his exit should be sort of perceived by Bills fans, where he is now, especially him going to an AFC East rival in the Patriots, a three-year, $69 million contract, $26 million of that is guaranteed. We also, though, right there at the end of the first hour, talking about the NFL draft, and I know this has been a topic throughout the week, and I think last week, I was off last week, but I know it's been a topic for few years, the idea of the Bills trading up, even a massive trade up to go get a player. I've mentioned it a lot. I am probably more on the Mike Shope train of thinking, which is you probably should never trade up. I'm willing to do small ones here and there. Go get the player that you want rather than a player that falls to you. If that player that you want happens to fall to you, perfect. Not everyone has to trade up or down. There's people that stay at their position and are fine. And the Bills do have 10 picks this year. And they're a talented roster, albeit a lot of needs on defense, but they likely won't be adding 10 rookies to their roster. That would,
10 is a lot for a team that was just in an AFC championship.
Yes. Yeah. Is it impossible? No. Just
unlikely.
I would say unlikely, yeah. Now, on that point, I've mentioned kind of my desire. I know it's a deep defensive tackle class. I'd love the idea, though, of a small trade-up, maybe to 25, you know, what have you. Not a huge trade-up, but enough to where, okay, you can go get a guy like a Kenneth Grant. Going from 30, where you're picking now, Houston at 25, they have to sort of rebuild their offensive line. I know another team that is really big in terms of, I've seen a lot of people talk about, you know, a trade-up candidate, or, well, trade-down candidate for them, Minnesota. I think they have, like, four draft picks this year. You yes. mentioned a lot with Tennessee. Now, they're all the way up, but they might be a team, if it weren't for Cam Ward, they trade down because they desperately need draft capital. Minnesota, sort of the same thing. But it could be for a number of different positions. You mentioned you're a huge Nick Emmanuel fan, the safety out of South Carolina.
That has become my guy.
Yep. I've also mentioned, too, while I don't love the idea of cornerback, if Jahdae Barron out of Texas is available at 24, he's a player. If they got, I'd be thrilled.
You can move up with the bevy of fifth and sixth rounders you have.
Yeah. Now, realistically, you know where I think the trade actually comes? Because I think they're trading up somewhere.
Right.
I think it's probably in the second round to go get a guy who yes. maybe they had a higher second-round grade on or a late first-round grade on
because
that happens to be there, and they're like, go get him.
Because their picks are in 56 and 62. That's late in the second round,
yep.
both of them.
Yep.
Because Minnesota apparently decided to want to do us no favors and be good for some reason.
I will never forget us having the conversation with Sal while he's at the Combine last
year. Never
forgive
them for this.
Was it the Combine or maybe the owners' meetings last year, but him even going like, look at Minnesota. Like, they could be terrible. And it was not like any of us thought he was wrong. I think most of us agreed. Yeah, they could be terrible.
They were setting
Sam Darnold's their quarterback.
They were setting up to be not good.
Not good. And all they do is win 14 games.
Casually, Sam Darnold just walks in and wins 14 games with the Minnesota Vikings. Jets fans are up in arms like, where was that?
I think what was like October 1st, we're all like, cool, so Vikings are going to be great. That second round pick's going
to
be effectively
a third.
But
then you see that he's throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. All the sins.
That's yeah, all the sins.
All
yeah.
the sons. All the sons. Heck, I'm going to get on a tangent. So, moving up in the second round, absolutely. But what does Buffalo love to do also? They love getting themselves back into the third round.
Yeah, they do.
Love doing
They've
that.
Not made a lot of fourth round picks in the Brandon Bean McDermott era.
And which is weird because they've crushed those.
Mm-hmm.
Sale put out a spreadsheet
yep.
of all the picks that they've made by round and like ranking them. And you look at the fourth round and go, wait, is Ray Davis really the one that's
the low point?
The low point of the fourth round? Like, yeah, Gabe Davis didn't get a second contract, but like.
Did with somebody else, though. He did with somebody else.
Taron Johnson, also a fourth
round. Taron Johnson, yep.
Yeah. So, like, they don't make a lot of fourth round picks, and I look at his track record and go, why?
That round's pretty good for you. Because ultimately, like the Gabe Davis, because that's where priced you out.
Like that's where your day two guys start falling,
mm-hmm.
And they're in the fourth round. Like, go get them.
You did make a mention though of the third round too. They've been fantastic there.
They love the third round and they typically kill it.
Sal ranked it: Spencer Brown, Terrell Bernard, Harrison Phillips. Another guy didn't get a second contract with you. I think he's still on Minnesota.
He also priced him like he was priced.
He priced himself out. Dawson Knox did get a second contract with the Bills. Arguably kind of was good enough where some people were questioning why exactly they took a tight end like Dalton Kincaid at the time.
It was because of Kenneth.
Yes. Singletary, good, not great running back.
For a third-round pick.
Solid for a third-round pick. Also, what if he has the offensive line the Bills have now? The last 2 years where James Cook's been able to have a very good success.
His physical traits have a solid ceiling.
Probably not great, but maybe good enough to where you're like, hey, no issues with him at all.
Yep.
Zero issues. Then Dorian Williams. He had people questioning how valuable Matt Milano is, I think egregiously, but he's been very good for them, especially as a depth linebacker.
Didn't he finish leading the team in tackles even though he got no starting reps at the end of the year?
I believe he did. Zach Moss, who is an NFL running back. He had a few good games with Indianapolis.
You can do a hell of a lot worse than that on your third round.
Yep. And then Dwayne Carter, only because he was a rookie last year and got hurt for a majority of the second half of last year.
Yes.
They've been very, very good in the third round.
Yes.
And I think it's a good point to bring up of like maybe that also could be something. Do they trade back?
They also
in this year's second round, get back in the third round, maybe get a pick for next year,
maybe
something
add,
like that,
or maybe add a fourth.
Add a fourth.
You do good with fourths.
Do come good on. With fourths.
Come on, man. Come on. Fall back into the third round. You get a fourth in return.
Their worst round is the first round though.
And that is,
I think, like objectively, their worst round is the first.
It's also the one where the highest expectations are to be paid.
Yeah.
You think about it, like we were mentioning, like how well that third round is there.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to say those are first round picks, what's the stigma at that point?
Oh, they get starters everywhere.
And the thing is that if we look at the third round track record, Devin Singletary is an unforgivable selection.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a first rounder.
Do I want to say the first round is their worst?
But that's the thing, is that
no.
Expectation and stakes have something to do with it.
I'm going to go second round, by the way. I'm changing my thoughts. Second round is their worst.
Yes, because like as bad as Kyer Elam ended his tenure as a Bill, he was playable every now and then.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham straight up weren't.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham were off the team before their contracts expired.
Yeah.
And the second round is supposed to be just as heavy.
Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, if they can improve this year, and I think that's maybe the most fun thing about this year's draft. If you're a Bills fan, fun, depending on your word for fun.
Draft's always fun for me, baby.
I love it. I mean, I'm a junkie, you know that.
Yes,
but you have three picks in the first two rounds. On a
that's
team,
where the fun begins.
Yeah, and on a team, an organization that you can question how well they've done in the first two rounds the last few years, but now very quickly. Especially, you have a lot of needs on defense, and this seems to be a very good defensive draft class. Very quickly change that perception. Or you can just solidify it and have a lot of people, I think including myself, kind of questioning what the future is with Brandon Bean as the general manager. Not necessarily saying fire him, but you do have to start maybe questioning like, okay.
How good are you really at
Yeah,
this?
Like where are we at in terms of this first, second round thing? Like those need to be day one starters, even on great teams.
Yes.
And you're not doing it. And again, I'm not saying necessarily fire them, but you do have to start kind of looking at it going, okay, where's the disconnect? Because like we've just mentioned, third and fourth round.
Slappers only.
Dude, you're getting starters everywhere. Spencer Brown's one of the better right tackles in the NFL. Boom. Dorian Williams, a great depth linebacker. Boom.
Yeah, when it comes to depth picks, it's a game of 007. Slappers only.
But rounds one and two, it kind of has gotten to a point where
that hit rate is worse.
It's tough. I mean, Osiris Torrance, I've mentioned him. I would have taken him in the first round of that draft class, by the way, too. So getting him in the second, I thought was wonderful. He's been a day one starter at right guard.
And you need more of that.
Mm-hmm. But AJ Epenesa, I mean, even the day he was drafted, it was kind of like a low ceiling, maybe even low floor. I don't really know what's going to – I mean, effectively to take a redshirt year to kind of get up to weight.
Yep.
And then since then, he's kind of been like a solid, not great piece.
He's been fine.
James Cook, running back, it's kind of always tough to judge them because you don't really always want to give them second contracts. At least it seems to appear still that way.
Yes. And also, last year was, I don't want to call it an anomaly, but an obscurely high amount of touchdowns.
Yes. Where you can almost sort of expect, like, that's going to dip, right?
Yeah, it has to.
Like, he's not going to hit, what, 16 again? 18 total?
Considering the year prior, was it
two?
Two.
Yeah. Probably more around eight.
Yeah.
Which is still a great year. But when you just barely get past 1,000 yards rushing on a team that runs the ball more,
yeah,
it's not great. Keon Coleman, who is sort of a lightning rod topic for a lot of Bills fans.
It's year one. Can we calm down on that, people?
But even looking at year one, he had some flashes. I've mentioned a lot the Seattle game and how that was sort of eye-opening of like, oh.
He makes the extraordinary look ordinary, but then he makes the ordinary look hard.
And he didn't have a great jump ball rate.
Yes.
So even though he had some pop plays, it still wasn't like a horribly efficient play.
It wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah, where when he was drafted.
There were plays that he made on those jump balls sometimes where it was like, okay, that's badass.
But
you dropped a slant pass and it was intercepted and taken the other way.
Yep. Then you go to Cole Bishop, who, whether it's fair to him or not, he needs to be a starting safety this year for the Bills. The entire year outside of injury. And he needs to show that, okay, that's done. We'll worry about a second contract here in the next few years.
Yes.
Whether that's fair to him or not, he was a second-round pick at safety. That needs to happen.
You need hit rates.
Because
you don't want another Cody Ford or Boogie Basham pick.
Bingo. First round still going there at Oliver. It's tough, but for him, you need a space heater to get the most out of him.
You need a compliment to him. Yes. Yep.
And then Greg Rousseau, I think, is good, a bit underrated. It's just a shame his worst game maybe of his Bills career was the last game of this year.
Yeah.
He was a terrible edge setter and run defender in the AFC Championship, which is strange because that's typically the best thing he is at.
It's actually the strongest asset of his game, and he had the worst time doing it.
Dalton Kincaid, I simply don't know where to go with him. I really don't. I think there is a disconnect between him and Allen in terms of where his routes need to end, where he needs to be when the ball is thrown.
I also just don't think Allen utilizes his tight ends as much as Ken Dorsey wanted him to.
And maybe even Joe Brady wants him to.
Yeah.
Also, man, can you make a convincing catch? There's been way too many times either he's dropped it or it's just like a...
And consider the last time we saw him. It is a catchable ball.
That it goes right through his hands.
Right through.
Right, well, kind of hits his chest, goes right through. And then Elam, who... We were all pumped they traded a first-round pick and got anything.
Yes.
I mean, that's not good.
It's you need more spectacular hit rates from your round one and round two picks because you haven't had a spectacular one
since
in the first round for a long time.
Since your first one.
Yes. Since your first one. Even the one that was right after that did not get a second contract with you. Got overpaid by Chicago.
But now Bears fans will tell you the exact same thing Bills fans were telling you when he went there, which is he's good, not great. He's more frustrating than...
He's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
He'll do enough for you to survive, but he's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
The fact that a third-round linebacker immediately goes ahead and transcends that whole lack of causing turnovers issue should tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 803-0550. Thoughts on this year's draft, what the Bills need to do, what you'd like to see them do. We'll start this segment here with Kevin on the line. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well.
We could skip Kevin,
I wanted to talk about James. I wanted to talk about James Cook just for a second. What's up, Derek? I know he's asking for $15 million. If the Bills are not forthcoming in paying the $15 million, do you think perhaps they could consider moving him around and possibly even considering trading up in the draft? I mean, I don't know if they're going to pay $15 million, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on if he won't even entertain that idea.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call.
I'll call you later.
I actually don't know how much the Bills will be into paying him because, look, we've already kind of seen there is somewhat of a different feeling around running backs. Running backs are starting to get bigger contracts again, so maybe there is sort of this shift that we saw a few years ago. But can the Bills afford it? And really, as I brought up, he barely got over 1,000 yards on a team that ran the ball a lot. And he had to do it in the last game of the year when they didn't really have to play for anything. No, is 1,000 yards everything? No. But in an era where Derrick Henry,
Saquon
Barkley,
if you want to get paid $15 million
getting paid that money, that's not great. In terms of trading him, I think this is the worst year to do it. Purely for the fact of look at the draft class, and we talk about defensive tackle being deep. this running back class is beloved by every draft expert I've seen. Now, Genty's the top guy, and then it's like 10 to 15 guys that they're like NFL running backs.
Now, ready? What if I were to say you could get that for... What if I got a day two pick out of James Cook instead of a trade up? More or less, like, you're hitting the reset button on the running back room, and you're going to use one of these picks in day two to do that.
I think you're taking advantage of a bad team who is desperate to put bums in seats. You know, that's for using the shores. He's
that's
saying.
More or less what I would want to do in that sense.
But there's so many guys available. Rather than be, as I mentioned, Genty at the top, he's gone in round one. Hampton out of North Carolina, the Ohio State guys, Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. There's so many guys that it will just be like, do I want to go the cheap route, especially a day two guy where it's going to be a much cheaper contract, or get James Cook on a quote-unquote, you know, depreciating asset, because running backs are more than almost
always
any position.
A depreciating asset.
Yeah, they're the most like buying a new car. The moment you drive it off the lot, the value completely disappears. I'm going to get him at 26, no, 25, and then probably have to immediately pay him. And all of a sudden now I'm sitting there going, cool, I'm not even getting the cheapest years of him. I may not be getting the best years out of him.
And considering that 30 is typically a hard cap for running backs.
Yeah. Unless you're Derrick Henry, which you should not be comparing any running back you have to Derrick Henry.
No, Derrick Henry. I believe to this day, and will continue to until the end of my days, that Derrick Henry was constructed in a laboratory.
Probably. And Tennessee kind of botched how they used him for like the first year, by the way.
Yes.
Never forget that.
Absolutely, 1,000%.
So yeah, he was 25 this year. Now, ultimately, he had less attempts this year than last year in terms of rushing. He had just over 200. So I don't want to – again, I don't want to bash –
he was still efficient. The per carry is still very good.
I don't want to bash the 1,000 yards. Yeah, his yards per attempt were 4.9. That's very good. But again, his value is depreciating. You're going to get him now more expensive, and you're heading towards the end of his career. Now, I do think, though, the NFL's maybe leaning more towards, hey, the cap keeps going up. Maybe we can give running backs a second contract. But like you've mentioned and I mentioned, $15 million, when it puts you in the ballpark of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry,
yep,
not good. And I think that's maybe where the disconnect is. I also don't think he's necessarily going to get that money. We've seen all the time running backs go to the open market
strong,
or try.
Oh, yeah. You get humbled.
Le'Veon Bell is maybe the perfect example where he sat out an entire year because Pittsburgh wouldn't give him what he wanted. He goes to the Jets. It works for 15 minutes, and his career, gone. He's more of a rapper now than anything.
Oh, God. Is he, though?
And it's ultimately what happened. I mean, it happens all the time. Again, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley might just be the outliers. Saquon Barkley, when he was coming out of Penn State, was considered that anyways as one of the best running back prospects we'd seen since like AP. Henry is 6'3", 240 pounds, and runs like 4'4". That's
Derrick
horrifying.
Henry, and Derrick Henry did not reset the running back market in free agency.
That's right. Yep.
So that goes to show you just how valued they are in free agency. They're not.
Yeah. It's more just... Ultimately, offensive line means more, I think.
It does.
Honestly, it's the least sexy pick you can make in a draft, or the least sexy, you know, free agent sign you can make. But likely, it's probably one of the smartest you can make.
It's the most impactful.
The offensive line. Yeah.
It's not even the smartest.
Look
it's
at
the
Bills
impactful.
The last few years. They keep adding guys, by the way. Like, they have their starting five pretty much locked down.
But they're never
done. They keep adding guys. They keep going in the late rounds, get a guy who is, you know, high potential, low floor. Let's see if we can work him. Aaron Cromer. What can you do? Cedric Van Pran Granger, the center out of Georgia.
Yes.
There were a lot of Bills fans at training camp going, if he's not the starting center by, you know, halfway through the year, this is malpractice. Weren't saying it by then, but there was feelings there of like, hey,
and
get him in.
More or less, they're saying that because, what do you mean? I've got a guard shuffling into down to center.
Right, right.
Is that the best idea? And it turns out, yes, it was, actually. Thank you very much, Connor McGovern. Great job. But I'm not expecting Connor McGovern I'm not expecting McGovern to be here in 3 years, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make future investments. You keep making future investments. As a matter of fact, you keep drafting it so that you have depth. Spencer Brown misses the KC game in the regular season. Bills are just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That too. I mean, they've been healthy, but Spencer Brown being out and then being fine, or at least solid, gave you a lot of like...
It's confidence.
Confidence. Good feelings that like they're putting together a good unit. And that's where, for me...
If I need to deal with injury,
mm-hmm.
is my mega superstar investment getting injured because I lost my left tackle for a game.
Yeah.
Or I lost my right guard. Is there a major problem here? And the answer is absolutely not. Keep throwing picks at the big boys. Let people like me represent.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Yes.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Beef is beef, baby.
But that's the thing is, so I'm okay if they take a running back next year in the third round or if they want to this year in like the fourth. And all of a sudden, then you're looking at going, we have Ray Davis and this young guy and a year left of James Cook. I'm fine with that. I think the Bills have proven they kind of they have figured out how to work that running back offensive line room really, really well. 803-0550, the number to call. We got a number of people on hold. We'll get to you guys after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Josh Schmidt hanging out with you here today. And, of course, our show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whenever you're looking for it, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I've been doing so good all day.
Hey,
all day.
Do you know that it's the 10th anniversary of the Sabres versus Coyotes, that game?
Why don't you enlighten everybody on that game?
I don't need to enlighten many people on this, though it is something important for this station and the ramifications afterwards. But obviously 10 years ago, the tank season, we had fans straight up cheering that this team should lose games. We had champions of this station itself asking this team to lose in any way possible, try to land themselves Connor McDavid. And it comes to a head on this night in 2015. An overtime loss to the Arizona Coyotes. And fans audibly cheering that goal. I don't necessarily believe in the karmic retribution of things. But if it exists, can we stop and let it go?
Can we
let it die now? It's been 10 years. I think we've been through enough.
Did other teams cheer for losses that year? I feel like Edmonton did.
Not as loudly.
No, yeah. I think
it was very shameless in a sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Do what you want to do. I wasn't a fan of it, personally.
No, and I think it's looked worse as the team has not gotten any better.
Correct. It's looked worse because for 10 more years they have been effectively no closer to getting through anything of a long-term build. That said, I mean, it happened. It's not something that, like, it's not shameful in a sense. Like, yeah, it was a little obnoxious. A lot of people saying the quiet part out loud kind of thing. It's like if you wink at somebody, you go, wink.
Yeah.
But it's just one of these things where, like, I don't know necessarily if it needs to, like, yeah, I guess that 10 years ago, it's a big deal, you know, it's a 10-year anniversary of something.
But if you're a certain fan, which I think those fans have actually grown too as the 10 years have gone on, that was a dark day for Sabres fandom.
And I would agree with it. It's just, at the same point, I also knew that they were going to lose anyway, so why did I bother?
Right.
Like, I accepted that, yeah, no, this team is built to be bad.
And they are shameless about it. They continue and to do things to stay bad.
Yeah, and the team was shameless about it. I don't need to match that energy.
Do you think that played into it?
No.
I was going to say, like, looking back, not necessarily trying to, like, change history.
I understood what Jeremy was trying to say about that and why the tank necessarily was created. It's that the team did it first, to which that's the point where I will always hold Tim Murray in some form of, like, contempt is – I hate that guy. And a lot of it has to do with how he threw his attitude into it.
Yeah.
Of openly being mad when you didn't win the draft lottery, for example. being overly brazen. There's no coincidence that he's never worked in hockey since then.
Which is, it feels and that's like what par, happens when, yeah, it feels par for the course for like any Sabres management nope, person the
Bottrell,
last few years.
Bottrell's an AGM in Seattle.
Yep, Bottrell, yep.
So, and Bottrell, something like it's a legitimate argument, Bottrell was worse here as a general manager. Murray, it is because he was so loud about tanking. It is an unforgivable sin in sport. Like, it, we say what we want. We're not part of the actual team and organization itself. Tim Murray has never worked in hockey yet.
Yeah, because he said the quiet part out loud and loudly.
Yes. He said the quiet part too loudly.
Mm-hmm.
What we say here is one thing. It's an entertainment business. In the sense of, hey, we're here to just try to make things feel better. This team's going to be awful. Why not just have fun with it?
Yeah, let's get excited for the generational prospect that is coming down the pipe. Oh, and you can watch him in Erie all year if you want to.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, we'll have him in Buffalo, too.
For the combine, right?
No, for a game.
Oh, that's right.
They
yes.
hosted him for
yes.
an Erie Otters game.
That's right.
Again, shameless. It's one thing for media to do that. It's one thing for a radio station to do that. It's another one the team did it.
Yep.
And that's why we've never seen Tim Murray in the light of day ever again. No, it's also because of his drafting. It was poop.
Yes. Sabres did get a nice win, though, last night, 3-2 in Dylan Cousins' return to Buffalo. Did get an assist, though, on one of the goals. I believe it was the opening goal.
Yep.
Sabres, though, did obviously get the 3-2 win. Thompson, Bernard Docker, and Jack Quinn with the goals.
No big deal. Just point per game, JBD.
Two assists.
One
over the
big
weekend?
NBD for me.
Won the trade?
Won the trade.
Now Josh North is still hurt. I
know.
No idea what's going on there.
It's tough, but I'm glad that he's at least trying to fight. Like, not fight through it necessarily, but like he wants to return by the end of season.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to shut it down, and that's good
because
that means like it's not as terrible maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I'm being an optimist.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking a lot on the Bills today, especially talking about Stephon Diggs going to New England and what that means. Also, James Cook. Obviously, always a fun topic. Do you maybe trade him at the draft? I don't think it's all that likely. We did take a call in the last segment, and we'll continue to do that here as Denny is next up. Denny, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Just quick on the Sabres before I talk about Cook. If you believe in a Jack Eichel curse, just think about how the fact that we finally got two first overall draft picks and they ended up being defensemen. I don't think there's ever been a team that got stuck like that. But when it comes to Cook, first I want to say he's great. He's not elite. He is a product of his own environment. When you think about, you know, when you're within the 20-yard line, Cook is secondary to the defenses. Everybody's paying attention to Josh. He, like you mentioned, his offensive line has been together pretty much his whole career, and they've been healthy, you know, so they help push down the field so he gets the extra yardage. So while I do think that he's worth it, you know, there's only a couple, or not worth it, he's a great guy, but there's only a couple of running backs, like you mentioned, that make more money than him, and, you know, Henry makes less. So at 15 mil, I just don't think it's worth it. Our number one running back is Josh. You know, Ray Davis is going to be able to fill that role as well. So I think there's a lot of running backs that will be able to step in and, you know, take that role.
Yeah, Denny, thanks for the call. And I like that, too. He is sort of like maybe a victim of his environment, too, because like Denny brought up there, like Allen's the main threat within the 20s. Like, that's the guy you're watching.
Yes.
Now, Cook had amazing plays, and I will go to my grave with this. If the Bills win the AFC Championship, that James Cook touchdown, he's already been paid.
He already has the contract.
I fully believe everyone's already been paid,
100%.
and they're just like, it's Super Bowl tax. Win or lose the game, it doesn't matter. You got there for the first time since the early 90s with this group, with how good the vibes were. They're not touching it.
Yep.
They are not breaking that up. Everyone gets exactly what they wanted, or at least close to it, to at least, you know, fit it into the system, you know, with somewhat being smart. I don't even think we're having discussions. That was going to be one of the plays of the last 25
immortalized
years
of
Bills fandom.
Effectively, Space Jam stretches his arm out and gets it to the goal line.
That was going to be one of the plays, and it probably, I think, for a lot of us still will end up being that, is that's a play you talk about to your grandkids of, like, where were you when that happened, when James Cook has to lunge forward, arm on the ground, not his elbows not touching
on
the ground.
On fourth down.
On fourth down as he reaches into the end zone. That's a generational play where, yeah, you remember that. So I and maybe that's the shame of it. That's the horrible kind of irony of it all. He has this unbelievable play that should go down in Bill's lore. He doesn't, and now this may be his last year on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is crazy to think about that. I will say, though, with Ray Davis, had a solid rookie year. I wonder how much that Jets game, the one Cook misses, has really done a lot of favors for Ray Davis in terms of Bills fans' idea of him. I do think he is part of their future plans, don't get me wrong. But his yards per carry was under 4. And he really only has the one great game. You could argue 2. San Francisco is a good game for him as well. But it's the Jets game. 20 carries, 97 yards. He also has 3 catches for 55 yards. I mean, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
It popped off out of nowhere. And this is also coming off of James Cook being a fantasy darling for the first month or so of the season. I mean, the Miami game, they effectively don't need to do anything except give James Cook the ball. He has 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Which was the second time in less than a calendar year where you're just like, here, give the ball to James Cook.
Yeah, just let him. Yeah, let him go do it. Josh can just hang out. Dallas. I wonder how much that game has sort of set the precedent of they'll be fine. They've got this dude ready to go. He's a little bit older. Maybe that makes it healthier for you not to have to really, kind of mentally, wrestle yourself in terms of do we pay him, do we not? He'll be 28 when his second contract comes up. That kind of tells you don't.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it that much, but he really only has 2 kind of big games, San Francisco being the other one in the snow, 11 carries, 63 yards and a touchdown. But to me, it was really that Jets game where it was oh, who is this guy? He's a stud. We've got 2 running backs who are ones. Maybe that's not totally true, but that was the feeling leaving that Jets game. We are fine.
Right.
We couldn't be more than fine. We've got a guy that's making big plays everywhere.
If Allen is not there to carry everything for the day, we've got James Cook.
Right. Let's go back to the line. Dan is next up. Dan, you're on WGR.
All right, guys. I'm going to use your own ammo. I'm going to act like I'm related to Cook or his agent.
There we go.
So right, obviously McDermott has loved running backs, right? He was known. He came here with a 3 yards and a cloud of dust. We've always gotten a running back. I don't like this narrative that we can fill in anyone because no one has done what he did. And he's really only played 2 years because McDermott didn't really use him the first year. He plays in a 3 rotation, right? So 44% of the snaps leads the league in touchdowns. Now, you want to use Saquon and Henry, right? At low-hanging fruit, he doesn't compare. 7 running backs cast it off from last year. 7. So that's not an anomaly or a quinky dink. They all made the playoffs. Every that mm-hmm. year 30 mm-hmm. where they go downhill, all 7 made the playoffs. And now everyone, the defenses go against the pass. Well, now the defense is a little more susceptible. And he's gotten better every year. And so every single year. So he's got no miles because he plays 44% of the snaps. He could do the 30, 40-yard runs. And then, but he's kind of small. Then, like you said, he's got that iconic run. And do we really want to hand off those touchdowns? Because I agree, he's not going to get 18. But 18, Saquon, he's not getting 1-yard runs, Cook. And do we want Josh really at 3rd and 5 to just willing the ball? Because he will. If no one else can do it, Josh will do it. Do we really want him getting touchdowns in the middle of, the AFC East schedule against the Jets in Miami? Because we don't want to lose. Cook is just, he's always gotten better. And he's not. He doesn't say 15. That's what people say in negotiating. So the Bills will say 10. So it's going to be 13. Is he not better than Gabe Davis? Is he not more worth than Palmer? He's got more touchdowns in 1 year than Gabe Davis has in his whole life. Gabe's done nothing since he went to Jacksonville. We like to develop. That's what Bean says, right? We draft, develop, and then resign. But he also knows to get rid of Edmonds. But Edmonds did have 2 Pro Bowls before 24. But we didn't keep him. I get it. But Cook is just – he's not as easy to replace as you make it seem out to be. He's just not – it's not that simple. A lot of teams have good lines, and they don't get 18 touchdowns out of a guy with 44% of the snaps. So he's got no wear and tear. And the money, 3 years, $39 million, you give him, 25 guaranteed? Is that not worth more than Gabe Davis from 2 years ago? I don't know. I don't think it's that simple. We'll just get a 4th rounder and plug him in. And yeah. I love Ray Davis.
Yeah, Dan. I like your point. Thanks for the call.
What he said to end that was, it's not that simple. You're absolutely right.
1,000%. I think that's right. And yeah, they could draft a complete bust who can't read a hole to save. Trent Richardson was a top 5 pick. Dude couldn't
Trent
read.
Richardson was 4th overall, and then also another team traded a 1st rounder to acquire him.
But to your point, you're bringing up 44% of the snaps as a good thing, right? No wear and tear. That's absolutely a positive thing. I look at that as more the Bills don't totally trust him to be a mainstay of their offense.
I will say it.
What's his pass blocking?
I will say.
Why is he always off? If he's this good that we're going to pay him $13 million a year, he needs to be on the field way more. Way more.
And I would say it more of, if he's playing 44% of the snaps, why should I give him $15 million? The price is right. Get James Cook back in here. Absolutely, 1,000%. I want to make sure I say that.
And I'm glad Dan did bring up the point, too. The 15 is just the starting price. It's the number that we hear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the start of the
negotiation. We don't know what the Bills are trying to offer in any negotiations.
Right.
Those are closed doors. So I think it'll be fine.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Rob, we'll try to get you here after a quick timeout, though. It's going to have to be pretty darn quick. This is WGR. Here we wrap up a Wednesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, been hanging out with you here for the last 2 hours. Real quick, I want to mention this story that broke about an hour ago or so. The Players Era Festival, it's an in-season college basketball tournament that debuted this year in Las Vegas. It's an NIL-based tournament that, you know, the winner gets NIL money. Next year, it's going to go from 8 teams to, I believe, 18 is the expected for next year. 2026, though, it's expected to expand to 32 teams, thus making it the biggest non-NCAA tournament tournament for the season. I don't love it. As a college basketball junkie, this probably means stuff like the Maui Invitational is gone because the best teams will go to these. However, with it potentially in 2 years expanding to 32 teams, I do look at programs like St. Bonaventure, who made a big addition yesterday, and Frank Mitchell, former Canisius player, went to Minnesota this year. Numbers weren't great, but he clearly could play in the Big Ten. Now he's probably going to dominate in the A-10. And the connections they have with Wojnarowski, I do look at those programs potentially getting invited to this. Other power mid-majors who are coming into a season looking good, getting there. If they make a little bit of a run, do they maybe get $800,000, $900,000, $1 million to all of a sudden help them either retain the roster, or if guys still leave, they can still, you know, graze the pastures and keep rebuilding their roster rather than completely being gutted. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up next, Sabres Live, following the Sabres win yesterday. This is WGR.